You said something during your presentation today that I think is very interesting. We hear so much about sustainability and environmentally friendliness, and you asked and answered the question, why do we do this?
Yeah, the reason that we do this is because our ambition is to help farmers produce more with less. It's maybe a simple statement, but it's for us very important, and it kind of solidifies why we wake up in the morning and commit ourselves to this ag industry. There's lots of things we can do with our time and lots of things we can do with our energy, but I was trained by a guy many, many years ago who said there's nothing more noble than the industry of agriculture, and farmers are the cornerstone to that. And if we can serve the farmers well, we've achieved a great thing in our lifetime. And that's kind of stuck in my head for many, many years. And for me, helping a farmer produce more or become more efficient on that same acre of land is fantastic. We started in North America, but the ambition is global. North American farmers are some of the most efficient, effective farmers per acre anywhere. But they can do better, and I think we can do better with the resources that we have, and that's our ambition, is to help them do that.
How do you get buy-in from customers, from people that work for Novozymes and BioAg, and from your partners?
Well, I think it comes down to a shared vision. If we don't... We try and hire people. So from a company perspective, I don't hire people who don't believe what we believe. You know, you can talk a good talk, but at the core of it, you can tell very quickly if someone believes in the same things you do. If I get those people who are in our organization who are doing this because they're trying to chase fame, glory, money, they're not the kind of people who want to stick with us very long. I think it really is about finding people who believe in the same things that you believe in. And that goes to our partners, too. We don't partner with everybody. We only find those partners who have a shared philosophy about what they're trying to do with growers. And I think sometimes large multinational companies get a bad reputation of only being out there to pursue profits and satisfy shareholder desires. But I can tell you that not all of them are like that. And there's good people in those organizations who have a passion and a true heartfelt desire to do what we want to do, which is help farmers produce more with less. So if we can find those partners and employ the right people in our organization, we can find success. And it goes to our customers. We don't sell to everybody because not everybody is wired the same way. And so we try and find those customers, again, who believe in the same things as us and are triggered by the same passion that we have for this industry. So it's not a solution that everyone's going to adopt. We get that. We understand that. But... we believe more people are adopting it than not, so it keeps us going.
In response to that, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit, because more and more people are interested. You mentioned that 5 years ago, knocking on the doors of other crop input ag chemical companies, they weren't opening the doors. Now they're knocking on your doors.
Yeah, it's definitely true that I can't speak to all their motivations, but you can definitely see that consumer trends and the pressure from the retail network and the pressure from farmers to give them solutions is changing how all of us in the crop input sector are thinking. And then we obviously see these challenges that everyone talks about, the growing population and the population that wants to eat better. And that's putting pressure on North American food production. That's putting pressure on European and African and Asian food production. So there's all these kind of internal and external pressure points that's forcing people to want to rethink how they do things. And because of that, I think that's opened up their minds to explore different options. What we find is that in these organizations that weren't talking to us 4 or 5 years ago, there was always a group who wanted to, but now they have corporate support to do it. And maybe that is what's changed, is that at a high level, there's been a recognition of the need to pursue these more sustainable solutions and creative. Maybe they're not so much always sustainable as creative solutions to the problems that we have in agriculture. And using biological products as one of those, both sustainable and creative solutions. So now we have corporate high-level support that kind of gives the the backing to those individuals who said, let's go do it now. And that's the companies who are really jumping on board with this, whether they're retailers or distributors or ag chem, all have this core group of people who believe this at the very foundation of why they do what they do. So
much of what we hear from Novozymes is about tomorrow, thinking about tomorrow. Now, pull out your long lens and, you know, 2050, 9 billion people in the world to feed. What do you see for agriculture, for Novozymes, just in general, as you pull out the long lens and look to the year 2050, 2060?
I think from major breakthroughs that need to be achieved, what I hope we see is solutions for the developing nations, where if we have the biggest gains to be had, there's simple things like fertilizer application in Africa can change yields from what they are today, increase them by 40%. And we've seen that happen over and over again. So I hope what we see at that long lens in 2050 is that we've figured out the way to get these modern agriculture techniques to the parts of the world that need them today. Mm-hmm. And that's not even innovation. That's just transferring knowledge to the different parts of the world. But it's going to take time, and I hope that's been fully achieved. And then I think what I'm excited about is the work that some of our counterparts in the industry are doing on genetic modification of plant to make them drought resistant, to make them better use of nitrogen. I think some of the things that are happening in that whole breeding area are fantastic. And what we want to see is the marriage of the biological solutions with those kinds of solutions to really solve challenges where there are areas of the world where there's land that can't be farmed today, but if we can create a biological solution and a genetic modified plant solution together, we can solve that. We can get on saline soils. We can get on drought soils. And now all of a sudden we've eliminated one of the biggest challenges to producing food for the world. And I think that is what I hope we've seen as a stronger marriage of all these technologies. And like I said in earlier in the presentation, we're at the front end of the innovation curve here. There's a lot to learn, and it's hard for me to kind of necessarily see what the end game is for biological products, but I do see biological products by 2050 being as common as chemical products are today, as common as genetically modified seed is today, and that the limitations we have with them in terms of use restrictions, stability, formulation, et cetera, have all been solved. Because I just have to believe the money we're a company personally putting into it will fix a lot of those problems.
Hey, is there anything else you want to say?
No, other than, as I said, well, yes, so not no, yes. I just think this is one of the most exciting times to be in agriculture. And what I really hope, too, is that we attract some of those people who passed on our industry for the last 15 years because it wasn't as exciting and went into other sectors like pharmaceuticals or whatever. But we need to attract good scientists. We need to attract bright young people into our industry. We need people to go back into the ag colleges that we've seen enrollment decline. We need people to be coming back into this industry and get the smart people to come help us solve these problems. So.